You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
Welcome to the Go Home edition of Dynamite Fallout All Out. I am your host, Christian Killjoy, and joining us as ever is my co-host, Minister of Sinister.
Right on, brother. A chip of the old block. Listen, man, it's great to be here. It's great to be here. Talk about Dynamite Fallout episode. What is it? All Out? All Out coming up this Sunday?
All Out Fallout. All Out Fallout.
Right on, man. Right on.
And we have a very great, it was a great go home show tonight. Very great wrestling tonight. Good promo work. Excellent promo work. And it hypes up the pay-per-view that's happening on September 4th in Chicago.
That's
All
this
out.
Sunday night, in case you slime balls didn't know. That's this Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sunday. How long is this one going to last?
It's going to last for 5 hours.
5 hours. Does that include the pre-show, the buy-in?
Yeah. There's a lot that... This isn't a buy-in. This is the 0 hour where there's matches in it. There's a lot. There's like 4 matches in this 1 hour of wrestling. Oh, my God.
Wow. And so that's the pre-show.
Yes.
Is that part free?
Well, yeah, it's free.
That part is free, huh? And then we get the main show starting at what, 8 o'clock?
Yes.
8 o'clock. All right. Cool. I don't know that I'll be able to watch it live, but I do plan on watching. So yeah,
yes.
We'll see. We'll see how it develops.
All right. All right, let's kick things off. What kicked off the show? The real undisputed official world champion, John Moxley, who last week defeated CM Punk in a squash match to determine the undisputed world champion, came out and cut a great promo to start things off the show. He apologized to the Chicago people for making a liar out of CM Punk, saying that CM Punk couldn't hack it. He talked shit to CM Punk. Buried CM Punk, saying that he couldn't hack it and all that. Then he offered a contract for a spot in the main event for the world title match at All Out in the main event, and he left it in the middle of the ring. And after the promo ended, a backstage official who will be known, Alex Steele, or whatever his name is, I'm sorry, who's friends with CM Punk, one of his best friends, came and took the contract backstage, and that was the question. What did that mean until it was revealed later on tonight? Minister, what is your thoughts on this?
Well, it was an interesting segment there. I missed the good beginning part of it, the Moxley promo. I was trying to get set up, situated with my streaming and shit. Once I did, I heard the very end of Moxley's promo, and then, that was that. They moved on. So
very good.
Yeah, but I was anticipating something better to happen, and you know it did. So we'll talk about that in a little while.
Yeah. In other words, we cut the backstage. We cut the backstage with Chris Jericho talking shit to Bryan Danielson. Then Daniel Garcia came out. He said that he's still with the Jericho Appreciation Society. He apologized. He apologized. And Jericho was still talking shit. You know, he was still talking shit to Bryan Danielson. And then we lead up to the first match of the night. Bryan Danielson versus Jake Hager. You know, a very good match, you know. This isn't Jack Swagger anymore. This is Jake Hager. So this was a completely different wrestling style from WWE's version of Jack Swagger. This was very good technical wrestling to start things off the show. Jake Hager lost by a tap out. And then after the match ended, the two goons, 2.0, came out, attacked Bryan Danielson. And then the Combat Club came out, assisted Bryan. Then Jericho came out of the commentary. By the way, he was the special guest commentating during this match, right? So he came with a steel chair. He tries to whack Bryan Danielson with a steel chair. But then Daniel Garcia ran out to the ring, grabbed the steel chair out of Jericho's hands, stopped him, and then Bryan Danielson hit the running knee, and that was it. So, Minister, what is your thoughts on all this?
Well, I thought this was probably the best part of the night. Obviously, they're the people that I'm most familiar with, all of them. Jericho and Daniel Garcia, it's building up nicely. I don't know, was William Regal around? I didn't see him around, if he was.
Yeah, he was on commentary.
With Jericho, then. And so the promo was good. I enjoyed the promo. It was entertaining. The backstage portion. I didn't realize that they were going to have a match right then and there, you know, with Danielson. The minute I saw that was about to, you know, transpire, I was like, oh, man, it's Danielson's turn to get an ass beating tonight. So I made sure to, grab my chair and watch because I wanted to see him get his ass beat. However, it didn't turn. I wanted to see him get burned. I've been wanting, you know, Jericho, I guess he finished the bullshit wizard gimmick, and he's not using it for this part, you know, because of the lion heart or whatever.
That gimmick's dead.
Yeah, so he, you know, put that one back in the bag of tricks, I guess, so to speak. But yeah, I fucking, you know, wanted to see him get burned. But he didn't. He didn't even get beat up. In fact, he did he came out with the upper hand there at the end. And I mean, I thought it was a good segment. You know, it's building up to what eventually is going to transpire, and that's the big feud between Danielson and Garcia. And you know, Garcia will get the rub, and it's like we've been saying all along, he's the better guy of all of them, all of that big bunch that they've got. It wasn't even that big. I think they even tried to add a woman at the end, and that was an epic fail.
Yeah.
And then that other guy coming back with this girl and stuff, that was no good either. Like eventually when that started, when the Jericho Appreciation Society started, I thought that it was going to be, you know, build up big, right? Like with a lot of people and shit. Then it seemed like that wasn't going to be the case. So I was like, okay, well, that's cool, right? But then they ended up bringing Sammy Guevara and that chick in. I don't know, like, for me, the whole thing took a nosedive right there. But now it seems like they're separating all that with a feud more, like, centered in. I think that Danielson is going to step up, and he's going to end up being, you know, the guy beside, you know, Garcia. And they'll probably end up having a run as a tag team at some point, and we'll see where it develops. But as far as this was going tonight, man, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to this match. between Danielson and Jericho.
Jericho. All right. Then we had, when we came back to commercial, we had a segment with the Wingmen. They're just jobbers from AEW Dark and Elevation, whatever. You know, but that's not the important part. The important part is Big W. Morrissey, also known as Big Cass, made his return to AEW, and he demolished all these jobbers. And then Stokely, the manager of Jade, again recruited another wrestler, and Tony Giovanni went up to him and asked him, why is he handing out these cards? Stokely was being rude, grabbed Tony Giovanni by the shirt even, and yelled, none of your business. So we still don't know why he's doing this. Why is he going around these wrestlers handing him business cards? We still don't know, Minister. We still don't know.
The worst part about this was the Wingmen, obviously. That was more nobodies. Even you know, Ziggler's brother, you know, they're all nobodies. They're all the one guy in the middle, he's comedic looking. Obviously Stokely's putting something together. The whole Morrissey thing, maybe Morrissey is probably going to be in his gang at some point that he puts together. I just wonder if it's going to be centered around Morrissey, because I think that would be a huge mistake. The guy is, man, he's just, I mean, you know, it didn't look good. It didn't look good out there, man. I didn't think he looked good out there. I didn't like this. Morrissey, I mean, they got so much better talent in that locker room that they could use, and they reach for this guy. I mean, what's the freaking point?
Yeah.
But I digress. Stokely, at least, you know, is putting something together, and we'll see. Have to wait and see how that develops.
Up next, we had a... we had a backstage segment with Rhea Ospreay talking about his match in the main event. Then Don Callis came to him, said that he's not the next Kenny Omega, he's the first Ospreay, and he wished him luck on his match, on the six-man tag match. Up next, we had the old Can They Coexist Contenders match. Well, it's not really Can They Coexist. It's mostly the contenders for the title. They tag team with each other. It's Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida. This was a decent women's match. You know, it was great. It was good. And Britt Baker took the pinfall, surprisingly clean, which means Hikaru Shida is not winning the title. So she's out.
Yeah, Hikaru Shida is not going to win anything. Britt Baker taking the pin was indeed a shocker to me, too. Toni Storm was looking really nice out there. Obviously, she's going to come up winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. But it's not to speculate. The match itself was it was all right, I guess. It was a real shocker that Britt Baker took the pin, though, I got to say.
Now, the biggest shocker, right, I understand people are thinking that Toni Storm might win this, but it would be the biggest shock if Jamie Hayter wins.
Oh, my God.
That would be the big.
And, I mean, it would be.
That would be the biggest.
The match was, the match that they had tonight, it was all right, but, I mean, it was a little short. It wasn't that long. It should have probably been a little bit longer, and they could have made something better of it.
It's because they have more important things to do than this.
Yeah.
No,
like Kip Sabian.
Yeah. So they did a video package of Kip Sabian. He's gonna face Pac at the pre-show for the All Atlantic Championship. You know, this is his first official match back since, you know, wearing that stupid box on his fucking head every fucking week. So, let's see how he's
being
he,
a fucking
let's see
pest.
How it goes. Yeah, see how it goes. Up next was the promo of the night. You know, this was the segment of the night. CM Punk addresses what's next. So CM Punk comes out in his hometown of Chicago. They obviously cheer for the man. He says that he feels like he let everybody down. He let his sister down. He let himself down, thinking that he returned too early. So then the guy that picked up the contract earlier at the night, you know, his best friend slash trainer slash agent, Steele, I don't know his name, sorry.
Ace.
Motivated him. What?
Ace. His name is Ace, like the Ace of Spades.
Yeah, okay. Ace Steele. He motivates CM Punk. He slaps him in the face, tells him to don't give up, stop saying you let people down, take this contract, go to All Out, and face this man for the world title. So CM Punk takes off his shirt, his jacket. He goes up to the fucking crowd. He gets fucking hyped. It's so hyped that a guy lifts a fucking baby up in the sky that makes CM Punk look at the baby. That's how hyped everybody is in the crowd. And then CM Punk writes the contract. It's official. It's going to be CM Punk versus Jon Moxley for the World Heavyweight Championship. What is your thoughts, Minister, on this?
Well, first of all, man, I get a little bit worked up when it comes with CM Punk, man, because this motherfucker knows how to work me, man. I was going out, I was thinking, you know, I was, man, when he first went out there, he moved my emotions a little bit, the way he was acting, right? Talking about how he pulverized the bones in his foot and how he broke his foot and, you know, and this and that and shit. But then it was looking like he was going to maybe leave the business or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was looking like something was not going to come out good of this. But then this guy, Ace Steele, comes about. So I think he was working with WWE and got let go earlier this year as a agent, producer, backstage guy or something like that. He's been picked up by AEW, I guess, and he comes out and he motivates the shit out of Punk. I mean, bro, when this, I was like, I got to see Jon Moxley beat the shit out of Punk. And now it's like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. Cause at the same time, I don't, you know, Jon Moxley is fucking, he's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Michael Hayes. And I noticed tonight he was the way he was fucking acting and kind of dancing around and shit. He sprinkled in a little bit of Shawn Michaels on us tonight.
Yeah.
He sprinkled a little bit of Shawn Michaels on us tonight. And so I don't know. I'm still conflicted about this match, man. But that's, I guess, the power of Punk. He can make you fucking like him. He can make you hate him. And he could do it all at one time, all in one promo. How good he is, a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Up next, we had a six-man tag match. We have FTR and Wardlow warming up against three jobbers. But only the difference is this was a better way to demonstrate how tough they are, except for a certain other company's six-person tag match. I'll talk about that after we're done with this review. Wardlow and FTR beat the shit out of this group, so let's move on. Then we had the interview segment with JR sitting down between Jungle Boy and Christian Cage. Christian Cage and Jungle Boy arguing about what's transpired these past few months. Christian is just here to make money, win championships, and he only cares about himself. And Jungle Boy is going to kick his ass at All Out.
Well, he's Jack Perry now.
Yeah, well, that's his real name.
He's Jack Perry now.
That's how personal this feud is. They're saying the real names now.
They turned him into Jack Perry and shit. I'm just wondering if he's going to come out in a disguise dressed as Jack Perry. If we get to see him come out, you know, looking like Jack Perry, like how he looks when he's not Jungle Boy. Hey, but look, man, I didn't get your thoughts on. I want to hear your thoughts on the CM Punk segment with what did he do? What did you think about all that shit?
Oh, it was masterful. It was great. It made me
Did he play
think,
with your emotions too? The way he did me. Like, I don't know whether to like or hate this guy.
For some reason, it brought me back to 2001. I don't know if you know this segment in WWE. During the invasion angle, it was Stone Cold and The Rock and Vince McMahon. Vince was begging the old Stone Cold to come back, lead Team WWE, and this reminded me of this segment. Good it was, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It reminded me, that Vince was talking to Stone Cold, like, I want the old Stone Cold back.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, this was some good shit, man. Whoever put it together, kudos for them. And then, of course, you know, Punk and Ace Steel, they fucking delivered on this shit. They fucking delivered great. So, yeah, getting back to where were we at? Jungle Boy and stuff. What do you think about Jungle Boy?
I thought it was good. You know, it's serious.
Yeah.
It's personal. I mean, the Filthy Canadian, Jungle Boy tried to run over the Filthy Canadian with a car. It doesn't get much personal than that. So.
Yeah, right. He should be in jail right now.
Yeah, he should be in jail. Well, he can't be in jail if he didn't hit. He can't be in jail if he didn't hit.
I don't know. It was attempted, though. It was attempted. So, FTR.
Who's already said that? Who's to say he wasn't parking his car? So, you know. Anyway, we already did the six-person. We already talked about the six-person jobber match. So, right now we're at John Moxley coming back to the ring after hearing CM Punk accepting the contract. He says, all right, you want to make it you want to try to get a miracle again? I'm sorry, Chicago. I'm going to put him down. I'm going to show you a vicious display of violence. That's what he said to CM Punk and to Chicago. So John Moxley is doing the tweener role right now, right? He's not a full-blown heel, but at Chicago, he's going to be the heel, you know? He's got to be the heel.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. I like how he included the whole thing about, you know, he's a legend, obviously, and he, you know, is a living legend. I'm surprised he's not calling himself that yet. That would be a great name for him. The new Larry Zbysko, I guess, since he's already Shawn Michaels and Michael Hayes and Stone Cold, might as well throw in a damn of Larry Zbysko in there. But yeah, he called CM Punk a fake messiah. that was a good low blow. I like the way John Moxley's handling his business on the mic. He makes Punk, it's a lot different, man, than Punk just beating up on somebody on the mic that can't, you know, come back. And so, it's been highly entertaining, this Moxley and CM Punk feud. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it culminates this weekend.
Yep. Well, it's not really a feud. I mean, you know, it's just a mini feud.
Yeah. So, Order. What the hell with this Dark Order?
Yep.
Evil Uno.
Tony Schiavone interviews Evil Uno in the Dark Order as 10. Get this, okay? This doesn't make sense. Let's recap. Dark Order didn't have a partner because it was vacant. So 10 took the position, right? But now he's injured. So the team is again vacant. The member slot is vacant again. So Evil Uno tries to take the spot. But then Andrade comes out of nowhere into the locker room, offers Evil Uno money because he's a peasant in Andrade's eyes. Evil Uno declines, and then he gets dropped. The official leader, by the way, of the Dark Order gets fucking dropped and gets beaten up. And then 10, if you didn't notice, right, the other Hispanic guy, I don't know his name, got a taser, right, and he tases 10. the guy, the other guy in the crutch that's sitting down in the locker room. I'm not joking here, folks. I'm not joking when I'm telling you this. This fucking guy is so worthless, Ten. He can't, this group is so worthless. This guy doesn't even sell the being tased, dude. He does not sell it at all. He's being tased in his stomach, and he's not selling it at all. He's just staring at the guy, looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck? Sell that you're being tased, you idiot.
But at least, you know, and then Andrade beats him down, you know.
No, he beats down the other guy. The other guy is the one who's not selling
Evil
Caesar.
Uno or whatever the hell. Evil Uno gets beat down, so yeah. No, I missed the part about the tase. I'll have to go back and check it out.
This guy is worthless. This group is terrible. This group sucks.
And they've been there since, what, day one?
Yes. Anyway, we go
so
to a fatal four-way match. What? Yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We go to a fatal... Huh?
No, go ahead. My apologies.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, yeah, what's next?
But
it's the fatal four-way match.
Up next is the fatal four-way match with the four participants out of eight in the casino ladder match this Sunday to determine the new number one contender for the world title. It's Dante Martin, the jobber, versus Rey Fénix, versus Roosh, versus Reeler Yuta. Three out of four people that are actually good, and the fourth one is a fucking jobber. Let's see how this plays out. It was a great fatal four-way. Lots of athleticism, a lot of spots. It was great. It was fantastic. And, of course, the jobber, Dante Martin, took the fucking pin because he's a fucking jobber and he's a fucking loser. What are your thoughts on this fantastic fatal four-way?
I mean, it was the match itself was fucking just nonstop action from the get-go all the way down to the fucking finish line. But yeah, you just had to know that that guy, Dante Martin was going to be the guy that ate the pin. I'm still not impressed with these other guys. I don't barely know who they are and shit. Wheeler Yuta to me has no business in that gang with, them other guys, Moxley and them.
I'd rather have him there than the Orange Club.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's for sure. The match itself, kudos for the freaking match. They put on a hell of a very entertaining match. Give it 3.5 stars.
So we go to backstage. By the way, really, won the fatal four-way. John Silver and Alex Reynolds, the Dark Order, are happy to take on three people out of two. But then, the cowboy, Adam Page, who beginning said that he was not going to be involved in this fucking tournament. It's on video. He said he wasn't going to be involved. And look and behold, he's in the tournament. He's taking the vacant spot, and he's going to be in the tournament. I think it's safe to assume we're going to get the Elite versus the Dark Order at the finals because Adam Page is in the fucking match now. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it was also interesting that when CM Punk was out there earlier before that, with the crowd and everything, there was a guy wearing a fucking Adam Page t-shirt behind him. And he was also chanting for CM Punk.
That guy is a loser.
Yeah, he's confused. He's very confused. But I digress.
He must have been
so
drunk.
Yeah, this, where are we at with the trios?
Adam Page saying that he's going to be in this match now. He's in the tournament.
He said one thing, and then they turn around and do another. And, we're supposed to just forget that he said what he said, and, you know, that's the way it is, I guess. At least, you know, the other two guys were excited. What are their names? From the Dark Order?
John Silver and Alex Reynolds.
Yeah. They were, you know, all excited and shit. So at least you have two people that are excited about it.
Yeah. Then we go to the main event, which is a great main event. Will Ospreay and Aussie Open.
I was just glad he didn't have butterflies on his pants tonight, bro.
Yeah. Will Ospreay and Aussie Open versus the Elite in the Trios Tag Tournament semifinal. This was the greatest. This was a fucking great six-man tag match. This was fucking fantastic. This was a great main event. And the Elite beat the United Kingdom, or whatever their faction name is, I'm sorry. They beat them clean when Kenny Omega hit the one-wing angel on one of them. I don't know which one. I'm sorry again. And, yeah, so it's going to be the Elite versus the winner of the Orange Club versus the Dark Order on Friday's Rampage at the pay-per-view for the finals for the Trios Tag Team titles. But what happened after the show went off the air, this was on their exclusive YouTube channel, exclusive clip, Aussie of the United Kingdom attacked the Elite, and they beat the shit out of them. So, yeah. What are your thoughts on the main event of this show?
Oh, my gosh, man. Well, it was it was just insane. It was just high octane action. Even better than last week, I guess. It was a spot fest galore, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know how to describe it, but yeah, it was exciting to watch this shit, man. I mean, everything move and it leads to another move, and it goes into another move, and and then a high move and shit, and a big spot, and you know, a 50, and you know, followed by a V trigger, and you know, it was very entertaining to watch this shit. But you said that there was an attack afterwards, where the
after the show went off the air,
the Brits attacked the Elite,
the United Kingdom. I don't know their name.
The United Kingdom, yeah. They attacked the. So
yeah, they attacked
it, you know,
the show.
Yeah, maybe they'll come out, selling injuries at the pay-per-view coming up. What about Don Callis? I guess he's back now. He was back last week, too. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he returned. He's their manager. Yeah.
I think that, they're going for Trios title. Obviously, I still think the Elite's going to win.
Obviously, yeah.
But it's still going to be entertaining to watch. You know there's going to be some shit going on, too. They're going to be heels, right? Are they the heels or the babyfaces? It's so hard to tell.
They're faces. They're faces.
The Elite.
Yes.
So, it's going to be good.
And that was it for... Now we go to the All Out pay-per-view, and I'm going to count how many matches are in this pay-per-view. Get ready, people. One.
Get ready, people.
Fatal Four. Yeah, get ready, because this is a fucking doozy, all right? I'm not lying to you. This is a fucking doozy. Fatal Four-Way. I'm serious. This may be funny for you at first, but this is a fucking doozy. Fatal Four-Way for the interim AEW Women's World Title match. All right, that's one. Number two, tag title match. Number three, the finals for the trio tag titles. Number four, Athena versus Jade for the TBS title. Number five, Casino ladder match. Number six, Bryan Danielson versus Chris Jericho. Number seven, Jungle Boy versus Christian Cage. Number 8, Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Number 9, six-man tag, FTR and Wardlow versus Motor City and Jay Lethal. Then we got the number 10, six-man tag between the House of Black versus Sting, Darby Allin, and Miro. Number 11, I'm counting pre-shows now. Number 11 is the world title match, by the way, number 11. Number 12, now I'm counting the pre-show matches. Number 12, Eddie Kingston versus Tomohiro Ishii. Yeah, Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, wow.
Still going. Number 12.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's see, number 12. What are the other matches? Number 12, Pac versus Kip Sabian. We also got number 13, Hook against Angelo Parker. That's about it. That's it.
So what do you want to do? You wanted to do some predictions or no? Let them be.
No, that's too long. That's too long.
It'll take too long. Yeah.
That's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because of the world title, 13, 14, 15 fucking matches. Wait, hold on. Let me count that right. Hold on. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I'm sorry, it was 14 matches. Maybe there is a 15 match. I don't know. But that's fucking bonkers.
We also have... We also have the Dynamite coming up. Dynamite comes up Friday.
Yes.
And they're going to have some Rampage. And they're going to have some shit on there, too. So we might have another match develop.
Oh, my God. You know, we could do predictions real quick.
Let them rip.
All right. Well, let me text. Let me do this. I'm going to do it in my text version, right? I'm gonna text my mom's phone for this. That's how I keep track. So obviously, there's you and me, okay? So me versus you, right?
All right.
I'm gonna do me first, all right? So I'm gonna pick Punk when. Then I'm going to pick Brian to win. Then Keith Lee's team to win. I'm going to pick Miro's team to win. Let's see. Who else is in this? Pac. Kingston. Who else am I going to pick?
Tony Stark?
Yeah, Tony Storm.
Oh.
I'm going to pick Stark. MJF to win the casino ladder match. I'm convinced he's going to be in this fucking match. How many is that already? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Fuck. What else is in this fucking show? Hold on.
I'm gonna say Tony Storm.
Wait, Athena. I put Athena.
Oh, yeah. You think Athena's going to stop the fucking, what's her face?
Yeah, it's going way too long. Way too long.
All right.
Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, FTR's teams win. All right, I think I got them all. Hold on.
You can feed them from me if you haven't got them all, man, because I'm gonna list them all.
Yeah,
I'm going with Toni Storm.
Okay.
New champion. I'm going with Bryan Danielson beating the GOAT. Danielson's going to beat the GOAT. What happens to, the kid? I don't know. Maybe he'll bring him along and he can carry the bags of the, Combat Club. He can carry their bags, Daniel Garcia, They might make him an honorary, the Pipsqueak wing. Of course, Jungle Boy, the other Pipsqueak, is going to win. Of course, he's Larry Perry or whatever the fuck his name is. He's going to win. I'm going to go with...
Hook.
Man, I haven't seen much of the Jade versus Athena deal. But
no,
I'm going to have to go with Athena, man, because you're right. Jade has been, since the title came, she's been champion. She's been running over everybody. She's been undefeated.
Yeah, it's
time for her to go down. So I'm going with Athena. Put me down. I'm going with Swerve in Our Glory to beat the Acclaimed.
Okay.
All right. I don't know, though. You know what? Put me down for the Acclaimed.
Why?
I don't know, man. It seems like maybe they brought in Swerve in Our Glory, put the titles on them real quick and shit, just so that the Acclaimed could beat them.
Okay.
They're just paper champions.
All right.
They'll end up breaking up anyway. I'm going to go with Ricky Starks.
Okay.
Of course, Wardlow. I mean, he was beating 30 people up a few weeks ago. Why stop? Well, three jabronis ain't shit. What else is left?
The casino ladder match. I put MJF because I'm convinced he's going to return in this match and win it.
Who else is in that thing?
Dante Martin, Roosh, Andrade, the Lucha Brothers, Cesaro, Claudio, Wheeler Yuta.
If MJF works his way in there, he wins.
Yeah, because it's the mystery Joker.
Yeah, so there you go, MJF. Comes back. He's been gone long enough. After carrying the fucking company on his back for 2 years, he had to take a break. He's been hiding well. He's one of those guys that so fucking sticks to his character so much. You don't see anything about him being spotted anywhere or nothing, bro. What do you think?
I don't know. He probably went to his house and secluded himself.
Either that or he took his family. He fucking Tony Khan said, "Here's my fucking yacht. Y'all get the fuck out of here. Go to Barbados or something. Stay out of here for fucking 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Come back. We're going to fucking push you mega push.
Yeah.
Punk will be champion again. the fucking you can go after Punk. We'll see how that plays out. Yeah, he's you don't see anything about him anywhere. Every week, at least once a week, I go through articles and shit of some dirt sheets to see if there's anything on MJF. Dude, there's nothing. That's a good job. That's a good job of fucking keeping that shit from us, bro.
Yeah.
Is that all we got tonight, bro?
We also have Hook. I already put down everything, so we basically have the same thing. All right. So before that, right? We got to talk about what happened on Raw real quick because we're done with AEW now, you know. I want to talk about this terrible Raw real quick, what happened this past Monday, because they also had a go-home show because, remember, there's two pay-per-views that are happening in this weekend, right? There's the Clash of the Castle, which is at 1 p.m. on Saturday, and tomorrow night, the night after that is All Out, right? Dude, go-home shows are night and fucking day. Monday Night Raw's go-home show was fucking terrible. Like, seriously. They had the Raw Women's Champion, because she has a six-person tag match, right, against Bayley's group for the pay-per-view. Dude, they have them face fucking jobbers, right? But the difference, the why this is different from Warlord's match with three jobbers, at least in this, they made FTR and Warlord look dominant and ready to face their opponents at the pay-per-view. Dude, fucking Bianca and Asuka were having trouble putting away fucking jobbers in a fucking Raw match. What? Horrible.
Oh, I saw that. That match lasted a good while, huh, for them being jobbers?
Yeah. Horrible. And then there's the main event, right? You know, they've been doing this whole tournament, right, for the vacant world tag titles, right? So the finals happen. It doesn't even happen at a pay-per-view. The finals happen. It's the main event of the show. Everyone is expecting Dakota Kai and Io Shirai to win it against Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah, right? So this Aaliyah chick, she doesn't do anything in this tag match, dude. She mostly is outside of the ring. She lays down in the Raquel does all the work, right? And then Bayley gets fended off by the three women, Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa, the people that she's facing at the pay-per-view. And then Aaliyah and Raquel win the tag titles, even though Aaliyah didn't do anything in this entire tag match. They win. And guess what? I think Bianca is injured or something, because the way she was running, she was limping. So guess what? This is a fail. Screw the go-home show for Raw. That was terrible. That's all I have to say.
I got a question. So it's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Is it this Friday when they're celebrating 2 years of Roman Reigns?
No, Saturday.
So this Saturday, or didn't they say they were going to have a celebration for him on Friday night or some shit?
Yeah, it's just stupid. I read the spoilers. It's a taped show.
Oh, and it's also taped, no less.
It's taped because they're already at Wales.
Right, got it.
It's a taped show. It's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, fucking hell.
Show is stupid.
I don't even know what's on the card.
The card is this. There's six matches on this show. Six. It's Drew versus Roman. Then it's Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Rey and Edge. Then it's Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler for the women's title. Then is the 6-women tag match between Damage Control and Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa. Then is the Intercontinental Championship match between Sheamus and Walter.
Damage Control?
And then what?
Damage Control? Who the fuck is that?
That's Bailey's group's name.
Oh, hell. Damage Control?
Yeah.
Oh, awful. Shit. They are
then,
the fucking Damage.
Yeah. And then it's Matt Riddle versus Seth Rollins. Let me tell you something. The only 3 matches that I'm even interested in seeing is Sheamus versus Walter, Matt Riddle versus Seth, and then Drew and Roman. That's it. The rest, I couldn't give 2 fucks about this pay-per-view. Seriously. This is a 6 matches, and 3 of them I only care for. That's sad. And guess what? I know some people are saying Drew's going to win it, but let's be fucking real, all right? Why the fuck would they hire Karrion Kross to attack Drew McIntyre unless he's going to do something at the pay-per-view? Unless he's going to interfere and cost Drew McIntyre the match, right? Drew is going to fucking win, but there is a high chance he's actually going to win by fucking DQ. So I wouldn't get your fucking hopes up of Drew beating Roman for these titles. If he does, good for him. But you know what? I don't see it happen. So there you go.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
Roman wins a fucking pay-per-view. He wins everything because, you know, Roman.
All right. Time to close ourselves out. You close yourself out, Minister.
Well, fucking A, man. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for hosting. Thank you for listening, everybody. We got new listeners this week in fucking... Azerbaijan again. Also, welcome Italy, Italianos, to the World Generation podcast family. Listening to us on Dynamite Fallout. Thank you so much, motherfuckers. Peace out. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, Minister of Sinister. This has been your host, Christian Killjoy, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, stay sexy. Good night, everybody. Good night, motherfuckers.